بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Dear brothers and sisters, well, the topic is, inshallah, hopefully for the remainder of the month, the main discussion is going to be about the story of Nabi Allah Zakariya. The main verses that I will be discussing, inshallah, I mentioned this maybe yesterday. Brothers and sisters want to follow along on their phones or look at the verses of Quran themselves. Mainly we'll be going from Surah Maryam. In order to complete the story though, I will be giving reference to some of the other verses of the Holy Quran that refer to this story. So today, for instance, we'll be going from Surah Ali Imran. But mainly the story will be from there. So one thing that I would mention, reminder to myself and all of you, is the idea of how Allah wants us to address unfortunate situations. This is important for us to keep in mind. How does Allah want us to address unfortunate situations, situations where we're put in a situation like now, us as Muslims, being under all this pressure, negative publicity? How does God want us to fix it? Very important for us to keep in mind. So the first thing is that we will separate between the actions of people and the work of God. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is running the universe, the system, and although we believe that people have free will and people are acting wrong according to their free will, they're doing the wrong things according to their free will, and that's why we're in the mess that we're in. But for us as believers, as long as we're doing the right thing, we're not going to worry so much about the actions of other people. So one time, let's say there's a parent who's raising their child. This child has learned from Quran that you're supposed to respect the parents. You're supposed to respect my parents. So بِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. My parents, though, they have bad parenting habits. They're not very good parents. They're cruel, they're unkind, they say things, they treat me in a certain way. How should I respond as a believer? So I can separate between the actions of that person and say that that's bad parenting. That's incorrect. But this is where God wants me to be right now. What's my responsibility? If I'm in a situation where I don't like what's happening, like us right now in the world, but it's not our fault. If it's our fault, we'll look and we do reform. We want to be looking inside and say, and that's part of going over these reminders from Quran and Sunnah. What's my responsibility? What does God want? What was I not doing before? What should I be doing now? But the other part is, God is the one who's really running the universe. So now, knowing that, Surah 4, verse number 19, God says, فَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. Maybe you dislike a thing and God has placed much good in it. As a believer, I may be unhappy. Why is this like this? I separate from what people are doing and then I say that no, what God's doing, the situation that I'm in, that it's not my fault, maybe, that, or as the verse says, that maybe you dislike something, but God has put a lot of good in it. So now, us in this situation, now there's a lot of negative publicity. People are saying a lot of things about Islam. Now it's the opportunity to turn the threat into an opportunity for sure now. Now, well, let's explain, let's talk now. Now we've got the spotlight, now people want to know what it is that we say. Let's talk about our prophets, what we believe about prophets. What's different about us and them? What's different about us and them? We're going to also explain that. We're not going to change what Islam says. So, there's a verse of the Holy Quran. Let me explain a little bit about Nabi Zakariya. In the Bible, this prophet is also discussed. his story, the same story that I'm going to be sharing with you. Part of this story is discussed in Luke, in the Bible. There are going to be parts that are erroneous, that we don't believe, that we say that, no, that's not how it happened. But the essence of the story is there. And as I mentioned, I think I mentioned this yesterday, that this story, we find parts of this story discussed in three places in the Holy Quran. This story is important. God wanted us to know this story. Now, this part of the story gives us an opportunity to discuss what we believe about prophets, anbiya. Who is Zechariah in the Bible? In the Bible, Zechariah, there's two Zechariahs. One of them is Zechariah, the prophet. According to them, he has a book, the book of Zechariah. According to them, they say he's a minor prophet. There, that's their thing. That Zechariah, research has shown us that in the Quran and Ahadith, there's no mention of that person. No mention of that person. The other Zechariah, the person who's in Luke, that's the father of John the Baptist. We say Yahya. John the Baptist, Yahya. That person, his story, elderly parents, righteous people, praying for a child, that story is there. The Quran does correct it, though. Right? And this is part of that strategy that you and I have to have. Right? How are we going to approach when we discuss issues which are shared between us and people of other Abrahamic faiths, or even outside of Islam? Do we, this is the strategic error, say we're all just the same? Or do we say, no, we're different? We're going to present Islam's point of view. We won't be disrespectful, but I'm not going to say that we're all the same. As a matter of fact, the way Islam teaches us is to say Islam is superior. That's the challenge. Now in a society which is pluralistic, where everybody, Muslims are just fighting to get to the table. Can I have a piece of the pie? What does Islam and Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam say? No, Islam is the final religion and the best religion. Now, you might choose how you're going to express those words. Part of it will be the attitude that you have. Now, does that mean arrogance towards those who are outside of our faith? Verse of Quran. We're told in the verse, it says, Alhamdulillahi alladhi hadana lihadha wama kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana Allah. All praise is due to Allah who guided us to this. And we would not be guided if it were not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So arrogance, no, it's divine grace. But now, this divine grace that Allah has blessed on me, is it the same as the religion that He gave to other people? It's a continuum. I'm going to read the verse. It's a continuum of that divine religion. It's all one religion from one God, but this is the last and final and best version. This part's very important for us when we're conveying now to our children. They want to make Muslims ashamed of themselves. We talked about this one of the first verses that I shared with you. It said about not obeying the kuffar. The strategic advice God gave to the Prophet, not obeying the kuffar. And He said, wage a great jihad by not obeying. Don't obey. Okay? They want Muslims to feel ashamed of themselves. We're less. We're not good. What do? The opposite. No, this is the best religion, and I'm gonna share the verses. Right? We're gonna maintain the line. Like we're in the Battle of Uhud, we're gonna maintain the line. Now, so there's one part of it now, just a little bit, because I'm gonna have to mention some things. Forgive me, I'm gonna have to mention some things that are different than the Quran and the Bible. Mistakes. Things that the authors of the Bible got wrong. They aren't there. But for us as believers, we want to keep in mind when we're introducing Islam to our children now. This is for us and the next generation of Muslims. Islam is the best. And I want to mention one of the hadith. That once, one of the Yahud, came to the Prophet. And he asked the Prophet, he said, are you better or Musa? He said, Musa, who had the Allah spoke to him. We believe in this also, right? Kallamahullah. He says, wa anzala alayhi Torah. God revealed the Torah to him. God split the sea for him. God covered him with the clouds, right? Are you better or Musa? So God, the prophet explained, he said that since you asked the question, well, you need an education then. What's the verse? What's the words of the prophet? He says, Lau adrakani Musa. If Musa himself met me, thumma lam yu'min bi wa bi nubuwwati, and he didn't believe in me and in my nubuwa, ma nafa'ahu imanuhu shay'a. His iman would have no value. So, the verse now about what we believe about the Anbiya. What we say, because this is negative opportunity, negative publicity, a chance for us to talk about what we believe about the Anbiya and what we believe about this prophet, Zakaria, who we believe is one of the Anbiya. He's one of God's prophets. That's a difference between us and them. They said, in Luke, it says he's a priest. We say Nabi. But this is an opportunity for us to introduce what we believe about all Anbiya. Verse of Quran now, Surah Baqarah, so Surah number 2, verse number 285. This is what God says. آمَنَ الرَّسُولُ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ. The messenger, the Rasul, believes in that which was revealed to him from his Lord. وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ. The believers are also the same. We also believe in what was revealed to the Prophet. كُلٌّ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ. All of us believe in Allah. وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ. This is another common belief between us and them. We believe in the angels. We believe in Allah's angels. وَكُتُبِهِ. We believe in all of God's books. وَرُسُلِهِ. And all of God's messengers. لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّن رُسُلِهِ. We don't separate between any of God's messengers. All one line, all one chain, all continuation, all of them agree on these major concepts. However, yes, this is the last, final, and best religion. Brothers and sisters, what we need right now is a little bit of swagger. As opposed to us being intimidated, running and hiding, scurrying, our heads held high, embrace the challenge. There were some people actually who embraced Islam in this way. The challenge was there, Islamophobia, hate, and that brought them closer to God. I want to bring you to the story of Hamza. Sayyid al-Shuhada, Hamza. How did he become Muslim? What happened was the leader of Quraysh, Fir'aun of the time, insulted our prophet in a terrible way. The leader, remember this is a tribal society. They kill you. You remember the stories you've read about that time of Jahiliyyah, how warlike these people were, how much they were eager to shed blood. The leader of the tribe, people wouldn't dare touch our holy prophet out of fear of Abu Talib, but Abu Jahl, he's Fir'aun of the time. We have an hadith, Fir'aun of the time, and he has his tribe, and he goes over and he insults our prophet. Hamza hears, Hamza Sayyid al-Shuhada. He comes over straight to Abu Jahl in a crowd of people. He takes his bow, the bow and arrow, takes his bow, and he hits Abu Jahl in the head in front of everybody. Not only that, he then picks Abu Jahl up and he body slams Abu Jahl in front of everybody. They say, are you a Muslim? He said, Naam. Yes, I'm a Muslim. I bear witness there's only one God and that Muhammad is his messenger. So that's the approach, not a chump Muslim, not a soft Muslim. Now, I'm speaking to you guys, you're all mu'mineen, right? So I talk a little tough, right? You guys be gentle and kind, but the attitude is the same. Mentally very strong, not weak at all. Now it might be a little difficult, but sometimes what's difficult is necessary. I remember hearing a story once. They said that this mother, when she woke her son up, she said, son, you've got to go to church. He says, I don't want to go to church. He says, no, you need to go to church. He said, I'll give you two reasons why I shouldn't go to church. I don't like them, they don't like me. She said, well, I'll give you two reasons why you should go to church. She said, one, you're 54 years old. Two, you're the pastor. Sometimes it's necessary. Embrace the challenge. Now, so us, we said the first thing that was different was the biblical narrative versus the Islamic narrative is that he's a prophet, one of our Anbiya. We have special respect for our Anbiya. We're going to cover in this, if Allah gives tawfiq, in this session, in this speech, we're going to cover one of the issues that the Bible also didn't cover, one of the questions that the Bible also didn't cover. The question is this: what was the inspiration for Nabi Zakaria? They also tell the story of him praying. They also have the story of him asking for a child. Luke, what was his inspiration? Quran addresses that. Now, a little bit of history of what we believe about these Anbiya. Nabi Zakaria, we know he's a relative of Lady Maryam. He's not mahram to the Lady Maryam. Why? His wife and Lady Maryam's mother are sisters. His wife and Lady Maryam, they're sisters. He's her uncle in that way, but not mahram to her. Right? He's not mahram to the Lady Maryam. Now, Isa alayhi salam, so Yahya and Maryam, they're going to be cousins, first cousins. Isa and Nabi Yahya alayhi salam, they're going to be second cousins. Does that make sense? Some people are nodding, some people are fasting, it's difficult, I understand. Anyhow, take it from me, they're not mahram. Now, what else? What we learn from, this is now from our ahadith, Bihar al-Anwar. Imam Baqir alayhi salam tells us that the father of Nabi Maryam, Imran, is also a Nabi. Maryam, her father, is a prophet. He's a Nabi. Zakaria also, according to us, is a Nabi. Imran, why am I telling you this story? Because we're going to the inspiration. What was the inspiration? So, Imran is a prophet. Gets wahi from Allah. Allah tells us, now I'm telling you from Imam Sadiq. Allah tells them that you're going to have a male child. Keep this in mind. You're going to have a male child. This child that you have will heal the leprous, heal the blind, revive the dead. You're going to have a male child. Will be a rasul. Okay? So obviously, mother, father, very happy. Later on in the story, some have understood that the Nabi's passed. So the mother gets the information, we're going to have a child, he's going to be a Rasul, he's going to heal the dead, bring the dead back to life, all these different things. So mother now, the father passes, this is what we learn from some of the tafasir, the mother makes a dua about her unborn child. So now, this is Surah 3, verse number 35. We're still going to the inspiration of Zakaria. So, the Quran tells us, وَإِذْ قَالَتْ إِمْرَأَةُ عِمْرَانَ, the mother, the wife of Imran is now speaking. Some of them have said that this means the father is dead at this time because otherwise she's making another, she's not even asking the prophet of that time, her husband, about this nadr. No, she's speaking to God. إِذْ قَالَتْ إِمْرَأَةُ عِمْرَانَ, she's speaking to God, she says, رَبِّي, my Lord, Inni nadartu laka ma fi batni. My Lord, I dedicate to you what is in my womb, in my stomach. Muharrara, right? In consecration. Fataqabbal min, accept from me. Innaka anta as-sami'ul 'alim. You are the one who hears, you are the one who listens. Sorry, you're the one who hears and the one who knows. Sami' 'alim. So she committed her unborn child to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And she's gotten news from the Prophet, wahi from Allah, gonna have a male child, he's gonna heal, he's gonna be a Rasul, these miracles. The Quran tells you what happened next. What happened next? فَلَمَّا وَضَعَتْهَا قَالَتْ رَبِّ إِنِّي وَضَعْتُهَا أُنْثَى. When she finally delivered, she sees it's a girl. Imagine her shock. The prophet, the Nabi says, you're going to have a male child. He's going to be a Rasul. He's going to be like this. God doesn't lie. And then when you deliver the child is actually, it's a girl. What shock? And the prophet didn't lie, right? But, and then God's promise is true, right? The prophecy is deferred. Prophecy is deferred. God's wisdom. What's supposed to happen? Anyhow. So she's speaking to Allah. I mean, we're going to go now with the verses. Wallahu a'lamu bima wada'at. Allah knew better who she delivered. Allah knows better. You're telling Allah? Allah knows better. وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. The male and female are not the same. Obviously, they're different. Then she speaks again. She says, وَإِنِّي سَمَّيْتُهَا مَرْيَمَ. I've named this child Maryam. وَإِنِّي أُعِيذُهَا بِكَ وَذُرِّيَّتَهَا مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. So I commend her and her offspring to your care from the evil of the outcast, Shaitan. Now, so she delivered the child, daughter of a prophet. Now, we need a guardian. Lots were cast. Zachariah, alayhi salam, is chosen to be her guardian. Nabi Zachariah, not mahram, but he's chosen to be her guardian, her maternal aunt, her maternal uncle. Now, Allah talks a little bit more, and then we're going to get to that inspiration. God's continuing, so verse number 37 now. فَتَقَبَّلَهَا رَبُّهَا بِقَبُولٍ حَسَنٍ. Allah accepted. She offered. She said, please take them into your care. Allah accepted, apparently, Maryam. فَتَقَبَّلَهَا رَبُّهَا بِقَبُولٍ حَسَنٍ. God accepted her with a beautiful acceptance. وَأَنْبَتَهَا نَبَاتًا حَسَنًا. And he made her grow up in a beautiful fashion. And وَكَفَّلَهَا زَكَرِيَّا. He put her into Zachariah's care. I told Jawadi Amali, keep this in mind for you brothers and sisters. One of the attacks that's made about us is the idea that we think poorly of women, disparagingly, the way we are, our sharia, oppression. Right? You all heard these different things. Now look at what we're saying from our side. Why? Because now part of our job is to share these things with the rest of the world. What's Islam's true position? We'll continue. So Allah, her Lord accepted her with a beautiful acceptance and made her grow up in a beautiful fashion. And he charged Zachariah with her care. So a Nabi is made to be her kafil. He's looking after her. Now, from our ulama, this is from Ayatollah Jawadi Amali. He says that God's favor to Zachariah is to be able to be her guardian. God's favor. And we're going to see what's the position that we have about the lady Maryam. So now, a little bit about the verse, and then after that we'll see her station, a little bit more about her station. So Zachariah is now in charge. He's taking care of this girl. This is what it says. كلما دخل عليها زكريا المحراب وجد عندها رزقا. Whenever Zachariah would come into the presence of Maryam, it seems that Maryam, at a certain age, she started spending some time with her aunt, his wife. And sometimes she would spend it over there in that place of worship. So, when he goes to visit her in the place of worship, whenever he would go to the place of worship, he would discover عندها رزقا. She has a risk. What was the risk? They say it was a miracle, right? Fruits that she would be receiving as a miracle. And he would see that she has this. So he spoke to her. قال يا مريم. So he's speaking to Maryam. أنا لك هذا. Where did you get this from? Where did this come? They tell us that fruits from the winter and the summer and vice versa. Where did you get this rizq? She's speaking now. قَالَتْ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. This is from God, from Allah Almighty. I'm receiving rizq from God. Whenever he comes into her presence, she's in that station with God, God sending her rizq, and a prophet taking care of her. She continues to speak. The lady Maryam continues to speak. She says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Allah provides for some who He pleases, whoever He pleases, without giving even account. Right? So now, we're going to get now to the inspiration. We haven't gotten to that yet, right? Zachariah comes in. This girl, from whatever age that he has the honor of taking care of her, let's say, as they tell us, that the father died, so taking care of her from a young age, whenever she goes to this house of worship, divine rizq. How high was her station with God? We're going to read later. The inspiration for Zachariah to pray and end up having Yahya is seeing this girl. Such a station with Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, it gives inspiration. This is before Isa is born. inspiration to a Nabi from the Anbiya of Allah to pray to God for a child. He sees how wonderful she is, he's going to pray for one wonderful progeny. Now, let's go a bit with comparative studies. We also believe, brothers and sisters, in the virgin birth. We also believe in the virgin birth. The lady Maryam had Isa. Isa didn't have a father. We also believe in the virgin birth. But what's different about us and them? We say that Isa alayhi salam is not the son of God. We don't reduce God to being like one of us. And the contradictions that are there. How can Isa, if he's God, who does he pray to? Does God pray to God? Just some of the fundamental concepts that are there. How can you have three and one? Three equals some of these contradictions. So we don't have those contradictions. What do we say then if you believe in the virgin birth? We say that just like Adam, who was born without mother or father, he's not a son of God, right? It's a chance for us to, believe me, brothers and sisters, some of you may not have spoken to people who've come into Islam. Some people, sometimes we Muslims, we don't appreciate what it is God's doing with us. There's other people, their stories are online. You can read their stories online. They go over and starting off reading the Quran, the issue of creation, that leads them from being an atheist to being a Muslim. Just the story of creation. What is it that's in these verses of Quran? What is God addressing? There's people who've come to Islam, and they say that there's some of these things I knew. I was a practicing person, but I knew this was incorrect. It resonates within me. So don't be afraid. Go over and share your story. So what do you say? No, we believe in the virgin birth. 100%, that happened. But he's not the son of God. He's an example for us. He's a prophet, one of our greatest prophets. He did bring the dead back to life. He did heal the lepers with the command of God. It doesn't mean he is God. So what do we believe then? Our verse, Surah 3, verse number 59. Inna mathala Isa inda Allah ka mathala Adam. The simile of Isa in God's eyes is same to the simile of Adam. Adam was created from dirt. Then God said, ثُمَّ قَالَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. God said, be, and it is. We don't believe in the... So, we don't believe... That's actually a grave sin to attribute a son to God. That's not something small. That's terrible. If somebody knowingly does this, if somebody adds this, the Trinity, when was it added into Christianity? Can we do such a thing? And what is it to say that God is more than one? What does it, Tawheed, even mean? We'll talk a little bit more about that. Now, let's move on a little bit more. Maryam. One of the things that you find that we say about the Lady Maryam from our hadith, she was absolutely beautiful. I know this is probably surprising. For me, when I'm hearing that part, I'm like, subhanAllah. You don't think normally of me. I think of woman as being pious, holy. Her physical features, how pretty she is, that wouldn't even occur, right? But listen to the hadith. This is from Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam. He says, "Kanat ajmal an-nisa." She was the most beautiful woman. Now, why mention how beautiful she is? What lessons can we learn from that? This is another, again, a chance for us to go over and have this discussion with the rest of mankind. With us, two examples from the Holy Quran. One of them is that the Lady Maryam for us is going to be a hujjah, a proof. A proof. I'll explain why. The Quran talks about two individuals the Quran talks about another individual who is very physically attractive, Yusuf, alayhi salam. We heard the story, I may have even shared it here. When Zulaykha told him to come out to see the women were so shocked. They started cutting their wrists. They said that he isn't even a human being, he's an angel. Right? This is the story of the Holy Quran. Now also the story of this Lady Maryam, she's the most beautiful of women. So what happens then is on the Day of Judgment, we have this from a hadith, some people will say, and they offer the, I'm trying to remember the words of the hadith, they'll try and explain why they committed certain sins. And they'll say, because I was physically attractive. Why did you do this sin? So then God will say, for women, are you more beautiful or the Lady Maria? Are you the man? Are you more handsome or Yusuf? That's no excuse. What we say in Islam, no, Allah created attraction between male and female. That's natural. But what we say is the zakat of beauty, brothers and sisters, and explain this to the world, the charity of God granting you the blessing of being physically attractive is to be chaste, right? Zakat is from Amir al-Mu'mineen. Zakat wal-jamal al-afaf. What do I have to give back to God? God made me physically attractive. What do I have to give back to Him? The zakat, the charity, is to be chaste. Not to flaunt it. I've got it, flaunt it. Nobody can judge me. Right? No. What Islam is saying, chastity, that's what I give back to God. That's what I give back to God. Now, the issue, because people also tell you, they say that you as Muslims, you believe women are oppressed. Right? This is even, they make these statements. The issue of hijab. You make women wear hijab. How come? And then they say, you know, you're making them wear it because of the gaze of men. Right? Men are looking and they're enjoying. And so how come men can't get their act together? Why should she have to cover? Right? So I want to talk a little bit about that. First of all, we'll share this. The hijab, sisters, brothers, is worn for Allah. Worn for Allah. If a woman is the only woman on the face of the earth and she wants to offer prayer, only woman on the face, there's not even any other women on the face of the earth, want to offer prayer, in order for the prayer to be correct, you have to wear hijab. God wants to see a woman like that. More than that, even in the Bible, there's something for us to share. I think I mentioned some of these things before. The idea that there's commonalities between Islam and these other Abrahamic faiths. Where is hijab in the Bible? You have verses that talk about, in the Talmud, the Jewish law, in the Bible, women covering. What are their verses? What about pork? Right? For them, it's forbidden. What about fasting? Fasting is prescribed to them also. It was in all of the Adyan. Can we change God's law? Can we change God's law? So now, it's true. One of the things that they will say. So there are wisdom for why we encourage our sisters to cover. There is wisdom. And by the way, if you can hold the line, there's stories online. I was reading one yesterday, last evening. A woman is explaining, she says that I met a young man, she said he was her intern. So he comes and works for the young man. She says he's from New Jersey. I don't even know this man's name. She doesn't give his last name. His first name is Muhammad, right? She says that he came in, she's a Shia. She mentions this. She said that when he came in, then I went to stretch my hand and he wouldn't shake hands with me. And she said, I was so burned up. She was like, I was used to this whole idea, men oppressing women, and she's giving examples, right? And then she starts to say, well, what was different about Muhammad, right? That he respected all women, but he was religious. And then she writes an article about it. If you can hold the line and do your part, not apologize for Islam. She writes a whole article about, beautiful article. In the beginning, the article was interesting because in the first part of the article, there's a picture of a man hand and a woman's hand shaking, right? And she goes over and she says, why is it Islam's different? What is that that Muslims are doing? Okay, if we can hold the line. There is encouragement, brothers and sisters, for men and women to be chaste. We're living in a society which is highly sexualized, hyper-sexualized. Everything flaunt, everything be out there, show. What happens if we can maintain the line? If we can be chaste, what is God, what are the rewards for us? It's from Amir al-Mu'mineen. He says, مَا الْمُجَاهِدُ الشَّهِيدُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. The mujahid, who wages jihad in the way of Allah, becomes shaheed. This person, he says, they do not get more reward. مَا الْمُجَاهِدَ الشَّهِيدِ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِأَعْظَمْ أَجْرًا مِمَّنْ قَدَّرَ فَعَفَّ. He says, this person, who is a mujahid in the way of Allah, and becomes shaheed, they don't get more reward than the person who could do wickedness and doesn't, is afif. Qaddara, not that I never had the opportunity. No, I live out, I could do anything. I choose God. We have an hadith that if a youth chooses God, God boasts to the malaika. This person left their shahawat, their desires for me. He says this person has more reward, doesn't have greater reward than that mujahid. He says, لَكَادَ الْعَفِيفِ. It's close that the person who is afif in chase, and يَكُونَ مَلَكًا مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ, that this person will be one of the malaika. That's how the reward of being chased, maintaining and holding the line. Now, back to the story. So Zakaria comes in, he meets this wonderful, he's the guardian of this wonderful girl. He goes and he sees this miracle of God. She's getting divine rizq, divine provision. Then what happens? He speaks. By the way, we learned from our side that this was in Muharram, the first of Muharram. What happens? Next verse. So verse number 38. هُنَالِكَ دَعَى زَكَرِيَّا رَبَّهُ. Then and there, he prayed to God. Zechariah sees this, that prophet of God sees this station, this girl has with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He prays to God. قَالَ رَبِّي هَبْ لِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ ذُرِّيَّةً طَيِّبَةً. At this stage, he prays to God for righteous progeny. I want somebody like this. I want a righteous child. He prays to God. The blessing of us, for us mu'mineen and mu'minat, inshallah, we'll talk more about this later. If you have a believing child, what's the reward? What's the blessing? Sometimes we don't count our blessings. If you have a child who believes, the hadith say, this is a flower from the flowers of paradise. I'll mention, inshallah, maybe mention the hadith later. When you die, brothers and sisters, and you all will die, you're not going to be here forever. I mean, inshallah, 200 years, 300 years, but eventually you're not going to be here. What happens, I'll go first, inshallah. What happens is after you go, your record, your chance for doing good is closed. Your time ends. But if you have a righteous child, your opportunity for good continues. Inshallah, have children, brothers and sisters. And if Allah grants you a child, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, then and there did Zechariah pray to his Lord. He said, my Lord, grant me from thy presence good offspring. Truly, thou art the hearer of prayer. Now, what do we say about the Lady Maryam? This is we're comparing religions, we're speaking, we're going to be talking openly what we believe. According to our traditions, according to our ahadith, we say that the Lady Maryam, remember, the non-Muslims have no idea how much respect we have for the Lady Maryam. No idea. So, what do we believe? According to our traditions, she's one of the four perfect women of the world. Hadith, أَفْضَلُ نِسَاءِ الْجَنَّةِ. The best of the women of paradise are four. Khadija is one. Fatima bint Muhammad is one. Maryam bint Imran and Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun. Right? The four perfect women, best women of paradise. In the Quran, according to the Quran, she and Asiya, they're both considered examples for all believers, male and female. Two women, because in Islam, what we're going to discover is that gender is not important. What is important is, do I do my duty to God? Inna akramakum inda Allah atqakum. Gender, that's secondary. What's my duty? Yes, there are some gender-specific roles that we have, but the majority of the duties and takalif that we have, brothers and sisters, are common between men and women. Most of them are common, but yes, we do. We don't say gender is a mental construct or a social construct. No, there is a gender, there is a difference. There are rules, right? But most rules are common. But now, what does the Quran say? These two women, one of them is the wife of Fir'aun. The wife of Fir'aun. She is one, and the other is the Lady Maryam. They're considered examples for all believers, men and women. Let me read you the verse. So Surah 66, verses number 11 and 12. It starts off with the wife of Fir'aun. It says, وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Allah gives an example, a simile for those people who believe. لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Male and female, everyone. One of them, إِمْرَأَةُ Fir'aun, the wife of Fir'aun. I'm not going to read the rest of that verse. After that, the next verse, verse number 12. وَمَرْيَمْ إِبْنَةَ عِمْرَان. Right? So she's given as example to them. Now, question. Was she higher or the Lady Fatima. Or Shihaya or the Lady Fatima. Right? We're not going to take that pluralistic approach. Okay, well, just accept this as long as we have a place at the table. No, let's ask the question. What do we believe according to our ahadith? Imam Sadiq says that Lady Fatima acts in all humility. She acts this from the Malaika herself. She's also called, in our hadith, Lady Fatima, she's called Muhaddatha. She was in communication with the Malaika. She would speak to the Malaika. The same that we believe about the Lady Maryam, that she spoke to the Malaika, the angels, also. So she's speaking to the Malaika, and she asked them this question. She said, one evening, it's in the hadith, it says, أَلَيْسَتْ الْمُفَضَّلَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ الْعَالَمِينَ مَرْيَمْ بِنْتَ عِمْرَانَ. Isn't it the case the person who was chosen over everybody all over the world, the best of the all women, was Maryam? فَقَالُوا, the Malaika spoke, إِنَّ مَرْيَمْ كَانَتْ سَيِّدَةَ نِسَاءِ عَالَمِهَا عَالَمِهَا. She was the best of the women of her time. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ جَعَلَكِ سَيِّدَةَ النِّسَاءِ عَالَمِكِ وَعَالَمِهَا وَسَيِّدَةِ النِّسَاءِ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَالْآخِرِينَ. She says, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjal farajahum. So he chose you, and we're not going to apologize for this. Followers of Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam. He says that you are the best of the women of her time. And your time, and the women from the beginning till the end. By the grace of God, Allah has favored us. Again, arrogance, I talked about that. But gratitude, that Allah has blessed me to recognize these individuals. Alhamdulillah. Now, the last point that I'd like to talk about, get a little inspiration from these verses, is the idea. So what happened? We answered one question. The question was, why did Nabi Zakariya pray to God? He saw the Lady Maryam, he saw her station with God, he saw the karama from Allah to her. He said, I want righteous progeny. The Bible doesn't address this. We do. Now, what about us? What's the lesson that we can get from this? Brothers and sisters, I want to talk a little bit about us being a source of inspiration for others. Maryam, alayhi salam, was inspiration for one of God's prophets to pray. How can you and I be in the time of the coming of the Imam so that we serve the cause better? One of them, brothers and sisters, is to be a source of strength and inspiration for other believers. Strength and inspiration for other believers. There's a verse that talks in Surah Maryam about Isa alayhi salam. He's describing himself, God's favor to him. We can get lessons from them, from this. So it's verse number 31, Surah Maryam 31. What does God say? First, we'll start with verse number 30. God starts off in this way, Isa speaking, miraculous birth as a child. قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ. I am a servant of Allah. أَتَانِيَ الْكِتَابُ وَجَعَلَنِي نَبِيًّا. God has given me the book. He's made me a prophet. What else? وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُ. God made me a blessed Mubarak wherever I am. Brothers and sisters, we want to be, 5 minutes, we want to be a source of blessing wherever we are. The greatest inspiration for, or the greatest challenge for human beings getting close to God, brothers and sisters, are other human beings. Shaitan whispers. The dunya attracts us. We do have desires, but you know the greatest challenge, the most difficult reason it is to serve God? Other human beings. Shayateen, min al-jinni wal-ins. Human shayateen. What's the greatest source of inspiration? If we have the wali of God here, if we were in the presence of that wali of Allah, you would see we'd be different individuals. A hadith talk about what's going to happen once we're in the presence of that imam. We want to bring back the savior of humanity. But I want to share a hadith and then very quickly I'll end. How should we be, brothers and sisters? Our inspiration now in this time of challenge. The Hawariyun, the disciples of Isa, are speaking to Isa. They speak to Isa and they say, Ya Ruhallah, O Spirit of God, Ya Ruhallah, Man Nujalis. Who should we sit with? Who should we keep company with? How should we be? The Prophet speaks. He says, "Man yuzakkirukum Allah ru'yatuh." That person, when you see, when you look at them, looking at them reminds you of God. وَيَزِيدُ فِي عِلْمِكُمْ مَنْتِقُهُ. When they talk, they increase you in knowledge. وَيُرَغِبُكُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ عَمَلُهُ. The actions of this individual, watching the actions of this individual, make you want to go more to the hereafter. That's the way that people are supposed to be. Our thing right now, brothers and sisters, is to reach out. Each one of us has a circle of friends and family, people who we can influence. Interacting in a way that I don't hide my faith, but I do interact with my brothers, my sisters, my friends. I keep them going. I'm a source of inspiration. I want to share a story about one of the shuhada, and then I'll end with this. I want to share a story about the humility of one of the shuhada. It doesn't mean if somebody is righteous, if Allah has given us tawfiq to be righteous, to serve on the path, that we should be arrogant. The person, I'm going to tell a story about him being humble, let me tell a little bit about who he actually is, so we don't think he was a weakling. No, this guy, Shahid Barunjadi, was someone who's really tough, actually. Once, in Iran, before, they had the secret police. Terrible people. The ways that they would torture you, they have a museum over there. If you ever go and make ziyarah, go to Iran, go to Tehran, go to the museum that they have over there of the prison chambers of the Shah. And then you'll see the cell that Ayatollah Khamenei was in and those other people were in. The types of torture, I remember one of the sisters, we went into that prison. One of the sisters fainted, she just got ill. Somebody else, a grown man, he fainted when he realized his grandmother had been in that prison. That my grandmother went through this in that prison. So one of the Savak, those secret police, this guy, actually he went, the Shahid I'm telling you about, he went to go kill him, right? He had permission, he was gonna go kill him. He had a revolver. The guy was like, "I don't want to give you this revolver, it's not gonna work." He said, "No, you give me the revolver, I'll take care of business." He went, took the revolver, and then he surprised the guy in the alley. Then he came back the next day, the other day, the guy saw him, he said, "What happened?" He said, I told you don't take that revolver because it won't work properly. It'll jam, for instance, it'll mess up. He said, "I took it." He said, "What happened? It jammed." He said, "What happened?" He said, "Oh, the guy saw that I had taken the revolver and I was trying to kill him. The gun jammed. The guy went for his gun. He said, "I took my gun. I went after him and I took my revolver. I hit him so many times in the head, I killed him." So you're not a weakling, this guy. Now, the story of this guy. This guy is driving. He's in charge of the Revolutionary Guard. These guys are tough guys, believe me. Right, in charge of the Revolutionary Guard in a certain area. He's driving in his car with other guards with him. He's driving in his car. When they're driving over there, there's a truck that keeps trying to pass them. And he sees the truck is trying to pass, narrow roads. He's trying to move over to let the truck pass. Truck can't pass. Finally, he's making an effort. The guy's blinking his lights, get out of the way. He's making efforts. Finally, he moves over, and then the truck passes. When the truck passes, the truck gets in front of him. The guy slams on the brakes to make them crash into him. With difficulty, the Shahid gets the car to stop. Then the guy comes out of the thing. They said he had one of those big mustaches, you know, handlebar mustache. He comes over to the truck, grabs the Shahid, comes to the car, swears. Physical altercation. The other guys are there. This is the commander of the Revolutionary Guard. The other two are like, "Let us do something." No. He said, it's our fault. Forgive me. Let me. It's okay. The same guy. Remember that verse I said about those people who are going to be the soldiers of the Imam? Adhillatin ala al-mu'mineen. Humble before the believers. At the same time, strength. Later on, he goes back to the base now. The brother is so upset. He goes to the base. Now, since he's the commander of base, he's in his office. And then he hears commotion. What's the commotion? There's a truck driver. What's the problem with the truck driver? He's saying that he wants to deliver his load. Tonight he has a load. And he wants to go back in the same night. Where they're saying, according to the rules, you deliver it and then you go back the next day. The guy's in a real hurry. He says, send him into the office. The guy comes into the office. It's the same truck driver. So you come in now, you see Shahid sitting behind the desk. The head of that whole base, and now he's sitting there, and I just slapped him, I swore at him, now I'm gonna look him dead in the eyes. He said, "Oh, it's you." He said, "Oh, you're grumbling again." The guy is shocked now. He said, "What's the problem?" He said, "I just wanna go deliver drop this load off. I want to go back tonight. He calls up the guys in charge. He says, let him, he's in a hurry, let him go. He says, go ahead, in the grace of God, go. The truck driver was so shocked. You had the ability to punish me. You could have punished me then. I had the guy who I'm talking about, they used to call him the Masih, the Jesus of Kurdistan. He's a champion. You could have done that. The guy left with tears in his eyes. So brothers and sisters, inshallah, if Allah gives us tawfiq, we want to be, inshallah, those inspiration for other people. We'll end with salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala.